Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon. I missed you on Thursday. Took a little time off. It was my son's 21st birthday this past Thursday, and it was just wonderful. And you are, too, for tuning in to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. It's spring. It's sprung. The grass is riz. I wonder where those flowers is. Have somebody out in the back here mowing their lawn. So that's a definite sign that the season is upon us. And my gosh, I can't think of a better day to celebrate. Not only spring, but everything. Because we've got Bobby Caldwell with us, ladies and gentlemen. That's happening next hour. I'm very, very specific about saying whenever I do a teaser on Twitter or Facebook that the guest is going to arrive at a certain time. Because sometimes guests come into the show and they're looking for the guest and get a little peeved maybe because the guest isn't there. So whenever a guest is going to be at the top of the show, that will always be the case. You will know before the show starts. Bobby is going to be with us in the next hour. So thank you so much, Mary, his wonderful wife, for taking care of business over the weekend, by the way. Yeah. Hey, listen, today is a day to celebrate indeed at the White House. Guess what they're doing? They're celebrating Memphis. Oh, yes, they are. They're having a lot of guests to rekindle that flame from back in the day. And I thought it would be a hoot if we did the same a little bit. So you'll hear a couple of songs in this three-song set featuring some folks that are going to be in Washington, D.C. today. We're going to start it off from the 60s, Booker T. and the MGs. Green Onions on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz. Amazing that some songs just never get old. 1971 for that. Actually, May 19th. no, I'm going to hold off on telling you about that date because that's going to be special. Staple singers right there, Respect Yourself from Be Altitude, Respect Yourself, written by Stax Singer, Luther Ingram. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Luther wrote that song because he was ticked off. And it became some sort of anthem, did it not? Oh, my gosh. Roebuck Pop Staples coming in on vocals there. He was 57 at the time. And Mavis Staples, of course, chiming in. One of those great songs that was monumental, backed up by the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, and so big that it became seriously a song that has been named as one of the best or coolest songs, both of those, of all time. Just raising awareness in the African-American community about the time being now, and it's time to get together. And now that we have seen so much in the way of folks doing things for us, Dr. King, for one, let's make sure we get this momentum and keep walking, walking, walking. And I'm just so tickled because I'm reading a lot about Mavis over the past few days, especially in light, again, of the White House today having this major function to honor those involved in the Memphis Sound. And Staple Singers were certainly among those, a big part of Stax Records. And Mavis, whew, you talk about a story and a half just by herself. I don't know about the situation specifics. All I know is that in 2008, she announced to one of these PBS show hosts that she and Bob Dylan had been really close, and Bob had asked Pop Staples for Mavis's hand in a marriage. Of course, that never came to be, but I'm just really interested in the whole 60s dynamic of one genre with another and how they got together in those turbulent, turbulent times. Mavis won her first Grammy in 2011 for an Americana, sort of an alternative country, if you will, album project, You Are Not Alone. And she was really emotional at that time, and she alluded to the fact that it's been a long time coming, for sure. Well, been a long time coming for us to see Mavis around here. She was at the Hamilton, this great venue, some months ago. Just found out today that Mavis Staples is going to be at the Chesapeake Bay Blues Festival on May 19th. There's the date. Along with Bonnie Raitt, Eric Burdon, and the Animals, you 60s heads, you, Trombone Shorty. It's going to be crazy. That's in the Annapolis area. Mavis is 73. Got to see her now while she is still strong and still doing her strong. She's got this civil rights mentality, and it's this joyful kind of mentality that she has that just pervades every song that she does. Just amazing, serene and up and joyful and full of gospel good news. Cannot wait to see her. So we had to play Staple Singers there. We heard Tim Green, too. Baltimore star, hometown hero, Time for Liberation from Songs for This Season. Terrence Blanchard, Christian McBride, Mulgrew Miller all have wonderful things to say about this amazing saxophonist, Tim Green, on his website. He is not only enjoying all the accolades from this brand new project, but he is such a mentor. He always has been. He's at Morgan State doing his thing as far as being a professor there, teaching music and saxophone to students, and he's also at the Baltimore School for the Arts. He is going to be, for you local folks, at Caton Castle and Club 347 this month. looking forward to that for sure. He is amazing and surrounds himself with amazing people. So if you have a chance to see him, do. Booker T and the MGs started set. Booker T. Jones on the organ there. Steve Cropper on Fender Telecaster. Louis Steinberg on bass. Gosh, Al Jackson Jr. on drums. Basically the Stax House Band back in the 60s, and did they ever tear it up. Songs back in Rufus and Carla Thomas, Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett. Man, a lot of tragedy goes with that joy, and won't go into that right now because we want to be joyful, but suffice it to say that Booker T and the MGs and Green Onions and all that they have done are going to get a salute today in Washington, D.C. That song, by the way, originally started out on Vault 102, a subsidiary of Stax Records. It was the B-side to Behave Yourself. Respect yourself and behave yourself. But then it got to be so popular that it was reissued as an A-side. Of course, it's on the Green Onions album. Library of Congress song, Rolling Stones, Best of, one of the greatest songs of all time, Grammy Hall of Fame song, and all these cats and kitties are going to get their big props today. Booker T is not that, I thought he was older than he is, but he's in his 60s, so he's going to be raring to go, receiving his little proclamation or whatever they do when they celebrate folks at the Big House in D.C. Woo! Let's get it on, shall we? We've got the one and only Bobby Caldwell coming up next hour. And it just seemed to be important to make sure he got focused because a lot of these folks who are doing Burke's Jazz, such worthy talent, but some of the worthy talent gets lost in the shuffle because of some of the, you know, names. And I wanted to make sure Bobby got to be part of this great mix, because if you study the history of Bobby Caldwell, the more you read, the more amazed you will be. Seriously, he's had one of the more fascinating journeys in music, and it's been a long time now, and his parents set him on the path. His parents were pioneers in a way, and we'll get to all that information. Another new project. We had Tim Green on the show on Valentine's Day. You just heard Tim Green. On that day was Kevin Whalum, and we'll hear a Kevin Whalum song a little bit later on. But we also had fairly recently Daniel Domage, and I thought it would be cool to get back and listen to one of the really wonderful Breath of Spring tracks on his Lost in My Thoughts CD. This is Have a Good Day on Hybrid Jazz.
walk with me in the gentle rain. Don't be afraid, I will have for your hand, and I will be your love for a while. I feel your tears, they fall on my cheek, they are warm like the gentle rain.
Jeff Antoniak on saxophone. Man, that's so nice. Not from the Jazz Samba project that they have as their most recent offering, but from the debut, actually, from Joie de Vivre by Verano, The Gentle Rain. VeranoMusic.com has everything you need to know about this multi-award-winning group. We can call them that now. Oh, they are so stoked. Just got a pile of awards from the Washington Area Music Association in the past couple of months, and just really happy about deciding to forge a path in music, because they have not been together for that long, Lynn and her wonderful husband have been together for a while, part of the band, but the group as a whole have not been around for, a decade even. So it's just so satisfying to know that they're doing something right. They're wonderful people, and they deserve every happiness. Lynn's voice is so incredible. And here's the dilemma. Do you ever find yourself in a situation, not that this is a major cross to bear or anything, but these weekends now seem to be chock full of music, especially this weekend. I have a pass waiting for me at Burke's Jazz. I have a ticket waiting for me at the Stoltz Listening Room in Avalon, Maryland, where Verino is going to be this Saturday. And there are two local wonders that are playing this weekend all around the same time. One is coming in from Atlanta, Adrian Blue, who I played last week for you, and Paulo Harris, who one of these wonderful people that I met in Baltimore, but actually we found out that we were living a couple of miles away from each other growing up in Abington and Jenkintown, PA, outside of Philadelphia, both playing music this weekend, and Verino is playing at the Avalon. God knows the people playing at Burke's Jazz. Between Baltimore and Pennsylvania, Philadelphia or otherwise, and Washington, D.C., it is just crazy. That's a good sign, but not so easy for those of us trying to make a decision. I digress. The Gentle Rain right there with Verino. VerinoMusic.com is where you need to go. Bobby Humphrey we heard too. Harlem River Drive from Passion Flute. And here's another event. Are you ready? This is going to be so wonderful. WHUR the other day had one of their part-time guys handle this so well. One of the original guys from the Blackbirds, Keith, came in to the WHUR studios in D.C. and was talking about this. There is a Donald Byrd tribute concert happening this Friday at the ARC, which is the Town Hall Education Arts Recreation Center in Washington. Unbelievable. It's going to be the Blackbirds and Bobby Humphrey. Donald Byrd had a lot to do with making sure Bobby got on the right road when she was starting out in her career. And I know that Bobby, being the kind of person she is, she holds gratitude in her heart more than most people alive. So she is just thrilled to be a part of this. And speaking of Harlem River Drive, Passion Flute was out in 1995. Well, the original Harlem River Drive is going to be celebrating the 40th anniversary of a global road song. Yes, there's actually going to be an event to commemorate the glory of this song on the 19th, next Friday, at the Schomburg Center for Black Culture. And this is a research facility in Harlem to make sure that every nook and cranny of lineage and black culture and everything that is so worthy to celebrate comes to pass. And they've got great little shows and events there, and Bobby is just psyched more than I can say about this particular event. So Donald Byrd tribute concert this Friday, and then the Harlem River Drive 40th anniversary of a global road song happening next Friday. Bobby Humphrey on her flute, doing a little vocal work there too. Daniel Domage, Have a Good Day, from Lost in My Thoughts, that you can get on CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon. Daniel Domage, DOMENGE.com, has more. And you can also get Patchwork there, which is also a wonderful disc. Anything we can do for Daniel Domage, we'll do, including trying to get him over to the U.S. We really want to do that, and actually, introductions were made. Hopefully, Daniel at this point has a hookup in the way of an agent here who is trying to pave the way for him to play some dates. So keep your fingers crossed for that. Bobby Caldwell coming up in just about 15 minutes or so. I don't know. I don't know how these kinds of things transpire. These are wonderful things happening. And thank you to Mary Caldwell. She is overseeing Bobby's page on Facebook, and she knew that I was absolutely sincere in wanting to make sure he gets Focus at Brooks this week, and found out that he's going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis next month, so we're really psyched about that. Got to play some more tunes for you in the meantime, and we always like to make sure that women in jazz are covered, and especially if you have a woman who has a Women in Jazz Festival that was named after her. Mary Lou Williams. Can't say enough about this pianist, composer, arranger, and mentor, radio show host for a while. She did so much for so many, and one of Duke Ellington's favorite people on the planet when they were both alive and well and living here at the same time. We're going to go back to 1963, and then we're going to hear something from the 60s as well, the late 60s. A gentleman on alto sax that we have never played before on Hybrid Jazz, Lou Donaldson, who is 86 years young. He sure wasn't back then in 1969, and we'll play something by Bobby Caldwell, too. Actually, we've got four songs today by Bobby, so it was awfully tough to pick and choose songs, but Mary and Bobby both wanted me to play something from my House of Cards, and if you haven't heard his latest, what a kick. What a kick it is to hear the 2012-2013 version of Bobby Caldwell. But that's coming up for you. Right now, Mary Lou Williams from this fascinating project, Black Christ of the Andes, something that blended spiritual notion and a vibe and music and intent with jazz. And this track doesn't necessarily go with the whole vibe, but it does. It ain't necessarily so. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz. There's a meat and potato song. What about me? Oh, here's the mark of greatness in someone. When you are able to hear a song and then a whole album of these beautiful originals, and each time you hear a song on the album, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, this really resonates with me. I get this so much. I feel like I have heard this song. I feel like I have lived this song. Well, guess what? This gentleman has had a whole career of doing it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that your whole life has been this songwriting prowess that makes you feel close to understanding what was in his head? That's a gift. This is singer, consummate songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and dare I say the L word, I'll say it, legend, Bobby Caldwell.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you like that?
Thank you. Drive safely.
Good night, everybody.
What do I say after that?
Hey, listen, you know I'm saying the truth. I mean, there is a song there from House of Cards. I heard that song, I don't know how many weeks ago or months ago at this point, but I get it. I'm going, yeah, yes. And you do that every single time. There is so much of a layering system to you, Bobby Caldwell. Thank you for so many of us. Thank you.
Well, Trish, this is Trish, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
okay. Hey, that is very flattering, and thank you so much. That is really more than I expected this afternoon, that's for sure.
Oh, you're going to get a lot, because there are people in this chat room who are going to be hanging on to your every word.
Well, bless your heart for that.
Absolutely. How was it's Denver, the Soil Doves in Denver, right?
It was a blowout. It was fabulous.
Was it?
It's a venue that we've played, I don't know, maybe we've been there 5 or 6 times. A great venue. It's called the Soil Dove. It's underground and sits beneath a high-end restaurant. The crowd was just, we were sold out both shows. And the Denver audience is really an awesome crowd. So, and that's half the equation of what makes a great show. You got to have the audience.
Oh yeah, and especially the people, and I feel more and more ever since I knew that you were going to be on today, in just doing the pages and pages of research about you, people come to your shows and they know your body of work. It's a trip, isn't it?
It is, and as of late, you know, people have been yelling out cuts that are obscure by nature. They weren't like lead album cuts. And they, you know, they seriously know the catalog. Sometimes I'm actually put on the spot to recall the song at all.
Oh, wow. That's something.
So I've been kind of brushing up lately on some earlier stuff that I should be able to knock out in a pinch, you know.
Well, I'm so psyched that you had the time today, and you can determine how long you're going to stay, either, you know, 30 minutes or an hour, whatever makes you feel comfortable. I know you got to go on your way from Jersey to PA to Berks. Tell us about that, because that's one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure you were on today, because this is pretty special tomorrow.
Well, it is. Insofar as I'm going to be doing a guest spot with a big band.
I love it.
That is why we decided to do some stuff from the American Songbook. And, you know, some of these are classic Cole Porter and Johnny Mercer songs. It's just, it's a real treat to sing with those kind of charts and orchestra, the caliber of which I'll be singing with. It's really a lot of fun for me, and it kind of it represents carrying the torch to continue the legacy of the American Songbook, you know, which started with Natalie Cole doing Unforgettable, which kind of turned what previously was considered to be, I don't know, corny. It turned it into something extremely hip, and you know, so many followed, like Michael Bublé and Rod Stewart and, you know, myself. A lot of people have carried the torch for this songbook, and, well, we should. I mean, it's probably the best commodity America's had to offer in the last 100 years.
Mm. And say who you're going to be with, because I wanted so much to be able to focus on what you were doing, because, you know, sometimes the names that are there in the more contemporary jazz world run off with the gauntlet. But this is going to be a fabulous show. Andrew's going to be with you, and that's cool because he's my Philly homeboy.
Hey, I know, and this is a monster talent, you know, and I love him to death. And though we've only been together for 6 years, it seems like I've known him all my life.
How bad.
I just got through, like, finishing a guest spot with him on his new release, his new album, which, by the way, is staggering. I love it.
That's great.
The whole album is awesome. And he is a gentleman and, you know, a class act.
Well, he speaks the world of you. I see that whenever there's going to be a situation where he gets to work with you, it's all over his Facebook page, and I guess there's a mutual admiration society going on, which is wonderful. I always like to hear that. So,
no doubt about that. And, you know, that's been true for all of the instrumentalists that have come through our band, starting with Dave Koz and Richard Elliott and Boney James, they all did 2 to 3 year tenures with our group. And in each case, you know, it was, you know, a mutual admiration society, like you said.
I love it. I had a chance, Bobby, to see you. I was standing backstage. It was really a trip at the Capitol Jazz Fest a few years back, and got to hear your set. It was part of an arrangement with one of the radio stations I was working for at the time. And you must never tire of the kind of love that you get from audiences. Looking out at the crowd, such diversity, and everybody and his mama, from the young to the very old, mouthing the words to your song. After all this time, do you ever tire of that? Do you ever go on the stage where you say to yourself, geez, I really don't feel like doing this?
And, you know, it's a great and fair question. And the answer, the honest answer is, of course, you know, I'll think in the back of my mind, oh, no, not again. But here's where the switch comes. Each time it's performed in front of an audience, and I'm referring to What You Won't Do for Love, they make it feel like it's the first time. So any anxiety, you know, that occurred prior to performing the song immediately is, you know, gone, because the audience is so embracing of the song and their own personal memories,
yes,
which is a part of the equation again, you know, and it's God bless them, each and every one, because, you know, if it weren't for them, doing the song for 31 years, it could be, yeah.
Could be a little annoying.
But again, you know, it's the audience, and all at once, it seems like the first time again. So, you know, and that's the difference of, you know, really what makes a live show. It's not always the performer, the entertainer. I mean, if he's got a deadpan audience, then there's going to be a problem.
Well, here's the cool thing about you, and I say that word cool deliberately, because I feel as though when you came around in the 70s, you redefined cool. You put a new category into what that could be, and just the whole background scenario of management trying to put you in profile, because seriously, I have had three people in my lifetime who have said to me, honest to God, in the different circles that I've been traveling with, because, you know, I just turned 60 in October, so it's been a little bit of a stretch for me, baby. But these circles that I travel in, three different people have said to me, Trish, are you telling me that Bobby Caldwell is white? I just love that so much. You know, putting you in profile back in the 70s, because you have this undeniable soulful voice, and when that debut came out, you know, times were a little interesting back then, so that was a brilliant move.
It wasn't really management, just to clarify, it was the label itself.
Was it
that I was with, and their springboard for all their hits was R&B radio.
Yeah.
From Casey and the Sunshine Band to Betty Wright, they were pretty much at the top of the ladder for disco music back at that point in time. And they were looking for something that, you know, would cross them over. And I stumbled in there one day and became, you know, their, I guess you could say, their whatever, boss fags or... the only problem was that their springboard, again, was R&B radio, and they didn't want to disclose the fact that I was white.
Yeah.
And all the time, all I want to do is just release my first album.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't really concern myself with it, nor did I think about the possible repercussions. And they didn't either.
Right.
But, you know, it's all come around, and in the end, it worked out.
Yeah, and look, I know the opposite side of that coin because I was involved in country radio in the 70s.
You were?
Yeah. So Charlie Pride, you know, here he comes along with Kiss an Angel Good Morning, and it was a while before it was revealed that Charlie was African American.
I know the story well.
Yeah.
And it's you can liken that to Nat King Cole, you know, who was the first African American who's on television in prime time.
Yes.
And welcomed into everybody's living room. These were milestones in you know, the media, and I'm glad they happened.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, we're still talking about them all these years later because, you know, you and I remember we might have been really young at the time for some of these monumental scenarios to unfold. And now, you know, all these years later, we can really relish the fact that they happened. It's amazing because you started out when you were, what, 17?
Yeah, you know, the high school bands and stuff. And, you know, not unlike, you know, most people in the business today. They all had a background in their youth, playing in bands or what have you. I started at 17. But professionally speaking, meaning the recording world, I was 27 when What You Won't Do for Love was released. But, you know, it's a long road, and a road that, you know, you just keep learning. It's a constant work in progress.
Well, that's good that you would view it that way. That requires a certain amount of humility to say that, Bobby. And I admire that because to disagree with you a little bit, there aren't a whole lot of people who may have started out at the age of 17 who were so multifaceted. You really are. You talked about the American Songbook. Your voice lends itself so much across the board to varying genres. Don't think it's gone unnoticed that
no,
I haven't listened to.
You know, I thank you so much for noticing that.
Oh, my God.
Because I pride myself in it. So,
oh.
And I enjoy it, and it makes, you know, it takes away the humdrum for me of, you know, doing the same old, and being able to, you know, cross some boundaries that you get joy from, and you bring joy to other people. It's a win-win situation.
Well, it's a win-win situation because you feel it. If you had been the kind of artist that wanted to cross those genre lines and didn't feel what you were singing, it would be a whole different story. But there's two cool songs on House of Cards that are just so fabulous because they're basically country-oriented songs.
And you're coming from a country background in radio.
Yes.
I was going to ask you that, if you picked up on those two songs.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm telling you, I unequivocally hear them on country radio.
Well,
yeah.
That's a great comment because I very much wanted that to happen. And yet, there is a blockade, if you will, and a mentality. When you cross the border into Nashville, they don't like outsiders. And maybe they're right about that, you know. And, of course, they're entitled to their own, you know, Big Brother society. But I've tried for several months, you know, to get it in there, to be heard by some of the leading country acts. And then there's another problem, and that's most of the lead country acts, they write their own songs, and that is written in stone. So it's rare when an outsider comes in and is able to place, you know, a piece like the things you're referring to. And it's kind of disheartening, but, you know, hey, it's a good old boys club there. And, you know, they don't like infiltration of outsiders.
Well, I'll tell you this. I lived there twice, and I worked in radio in a few different capacities. And I'm in constant touch with people who are living there now. And one of those people is my friend Slim Man, who is from Baltimore, who has certainly made an inroad or two in his career.
I know him.
Okay. He's happy as can be. And he feels as though that's the place where he needs to be right now. You know what, Bobby? I'll say this to you publicly. Don't go by way of mainstream country. Go by the other route, the Americana side, the alternative countryside. That is equally poppin' as is the so-called mainstream country radio.
And, you know, the alternative side is actually pop music.
You know what? It can be variably. Mavis Staples, just talking about
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh. Now we're talking.
I know. I just saw that she's going to be at the Chesapeake Blues Festival with Bonnie Raitt and Eric Burdon and the Animals.
This is bizarre. You're telling me this. I just, you know, got home on a flight night before last and was reading an article about Eric Burdon on the plane.
Really?
You know, I'm just a huge fan. And I've been trying to, like, do something with Bonnie for years.
Wow.
I idolize her. I think she's just fabulous and really, you know, the first lady of blues and soul right now.
Oh, yeah. And, man, isn't it awesome that she is so smoking? She's in her 60s. Mavis is doing her thing, and they are both strong and sexy and sassy, and they sound better than ever. And it's making me high thinking about this because the old rules don't matter anymore.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Papa Staples passed away.
Yes.
Didn't he? More than a decade ago, maybe.
I'm not sure when, but I'll tell you what.
That was the meat and potatoes right there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And, you know, Respect Yourself came out in, what, 1971? He was 57 at that time.
Yeah. I mean, and that was, it still holds up. The record still holds up today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my gosh. But back to you and your wide pathway, the wide stretch that you are able to create, and this has got to be said before we go on, because I want to play a track that made me cry today from you.
Really?
Yeah. I went back to Blue Condition. And if people aren't familiar, if you're listening right now or you're listening in the archives and you have never put your ears to that project, it's surreal because, Bobby, you transformed yourself in that particular album. You always get those acting skills in whatever song you're doing, I've noticed, because you've got a little theatrical thing going on, which is fabulous. But
God, you are winning the day for me. thanks again so much for that. That's, again, a little flattering. Thank you.
Thank you.
But, you know, I was brought up in, like, a show business family.
And
so
I know.
This thing about emoting a performance, whether it's on, you know, record or it's live, it kind of got instilled in me. Really, at a young age, and I was always surrounded with show people, and my household was basically Sinatra headquarters.
Oh, my God.
So all day long, all you'd hear would be Ella, Frank, you know, Tony Bennett, and just on and on and on, the stars of the era. And those songs, they're have become indelible to me.
Yeah.
And it's part of American history, and thus, you know, the American songbook. I mean, it's pretty much says so much about our country, too. You know, and it helped pave the way for, you know, new society and all that stuff. Our boys going to war, you know, it was there all the time.
Well, here's what you embody for me. I love reading about your parents, Bob and Carolyn. For those of us who are of a certain age, we remember this. I remember when TV was black and white before it became color. Your parents were hosts of one of the first musical variety programs on TV called Supper Time. And what they did for you, besides all that music and that infusion of joy, and even though it might not have been necessarily felt all the time, there was a tendency probably in the household, because they both had to be on so much, on, in quotes. They were pioneers, and they gave you that, the show must go on, and they gave you that courage early on to find your way.
And yet, Trish, you're going to find this bizarre. And yet, when it became clear to them that I was choosing, you know, the business as, you know, my road, they tried to discourage me.
Did they?
Yeah, because they didn't feel it was, you know, it was dependable. And as I look back, I have to say, well, they were right about that. They felt, you know, there was something better in my future. I mean, and this all is coming because, you know, they had some hard knocks themselves in the business.
Sure. Yeah.
And only wanted the best for me. But from encouraging me as a youth to discouraging me, it was like a total dichotomy. And yet, when I ultimately went on and, you know, I had one of the biggest records in the country, they were the first ones to stand up and go, "That's my son."
Of course, they just didn't want you to get hurt, that's all.
That's yeah, and I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because, gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, here they are. Nobody else was doing essentially what they were doing. And can you imagine people trying to knock them off that pedestal? Because the higher you ascend, the more people are going to try to pull you down. You know this.
Yeah. Well, they were victims of, back in that, the early days of television. This particular show, Supper Time, was being aired only in Pittsburgh. And one of the five stations on the air in the entire country. Then what happened is, after 2 years of them doing Supper Time, Westinghouse comes in and takes everything over and starts reprogramming from the ground up, and they were out of a show. But, you know, hey, and we're seeing them booting Jay Leno out, and, you know, here comes Jimmy Fallon. And it's, you know, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And I think that also was part of them trying to discourage me. I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well, we'll speak for everybody at this point. And back to this song, because I want to play this, because, you know, I couldn't pick any songs. I have the other song from the House of Cards that Mary wanted me to make sure that I was aware of, and I am. But I wanted to switch gears and show Bobby Caldwell from the mid-90s and what magic that happens when you are part of this scenario that is yours. I mean, when you were in the situation of Blue Condition singing those songs, you were basically in a room where other greats have been. And you were sort of elevated. You were like this earth, wind, and fire scenario where you were singing, and I can just see you rising as you were singing because something happened in that studio.
There is... we're talking about Columbia Studios in Hollywood, and the history is so deep.
Crazy.
And the best way I can tell it to you in a nutshell is they have what's called a microphone locker. where they keep their vintage microphones. And the second engineer that day, the first day of recording, wants to, you know, get a feel for a mic selection I might like to have in front of me. And sometimes it's one, two, or three mics, and you ultimately pick the best mic that sounds right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went into the locker, all of these microphones that are 50, 60 years old, Trish, Telefunkens, Sennheisers, Neumanns, I mean, the collection was astounding. And on these microphones, there was kind of like a duct tape on the bottom with names written.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's, I see one that says Sinatra, and I didn't look any further. And I said, well, that's probably going to work. So
wow.
You feel, you know, you're surrounded by this nostalgia, the history, and when you think of the people that have recorded there, from Sinatra to the Beatles, it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Well, this is what you did, because I've been immersed in Bobby Caldwell music for the past few days. Today I'm listening to this song, and I was transported back to when I was 5 or 6, listening to WIP in Philadelphia, and feeling what I felt when I heard some of those voices come out of that little box that we had in our kitchen. And it made me cry. So I'm going to play it for you. Just 4 minutes. Hang with me. This is Bobby Caldwell from Blue Condition. You go to my head.
Oh, my goodness.
On Hybrid Jazz. Check this out.
this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go
Okay, look, I care that I might embarrass Bobby Caldwell, but I'll say it again. That's a legend right there.
Wow.
I'm serious. You need get David Cassidy on the phone right now. You need to get back and do more acting because there's so much inside of you. There's that glorious voice, but there's more than that. You need to heal people by acting. I know you were doing it for a while. You need to do it again. Oh my God. Mind blown.
How? You know, there's so many legends. You know, it's been said that, you know, you're never really a legend until your face is on the side of a lunchbox.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's sad.
And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. So, you know, when you say that to me, I have to take it with a grain of salt and you know,
Do what you need to do.
Look, you know, when you start believing some of the stuff, you know, if not all the stuff, you're like, for the most part, you're pretty much doomed. And it's played itself out classically with so many movie stars, entertainers, and singers, and songwriters. And you know, you got to know who you are from where you came and who really matters. What really matters is the people that make you possible.
For sure.
And it's a truth that, you know, I know so many of my cronies embrace, you know, and it's... It's the right path, you know, the right way to deal with any kind of success. It's, you know, even after 32 years, it's humbling and should be.
Well, and you certainly are humble. And here's the thing about you that is just so magnificent. You could have very easily taken a path in the 70s after What You Won't Do for Love, because that was, of course, monumental with what, over 100 artists have either performed it or sampled it. I mean, that's crazy. But you could have very easily decided to sit on your laurels after that and let the rest of the world coast by. What happened to you was you turned out these magnificent songs. You explored every nook and cranny of who you could be. You heard country, you did country. The American Songbook, you went there. Jazz, you felt that too. Everything. Delved into roots that were certainly embody the name of this show, Hybrid Jazz, all of what it could be. And then you wrote these beautiful songs that other people took and made monumental. And meanwhile, you did the versions of the song that were just exquisite. You did not rest. You have worked really hard. You got involved in the cast of this beautiful production. You played Frank Sinatra. You were never content to just say, I got this. And that's part of the reason why you're legendary, because you worked hard. You made every song come alive. People continue to love you more and more wherever you go. That is beautiful. That's a miracle.
First of all, I'm blessed.
Yes.
You know, so I've been blessed. But for that matter, all of us are blessed with something that we excel in. And it doesn't matter who. We all are born with some kind of God-given talent, I think. I believe.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I have to dispel this one thing you said, and you're making me sound like I'm a workaholic. I'm not. And as a matter of fact, I should have done a lot more things with a lot more tenacity and more of it. No, I didn't just throw in the towel after What You Won't Do for Love, and that was a challenge to, you know, how do you surpass that?
Yes.
I was never able to surpass that as Bobby Caldwell, the artist, but I did through with other artists. Classic was Peter Cetera and Amy Grant, Next Time I Fall in Love.
Oh,
so Lord. Achieving, you know, the end game, I really never wanted to become a household word or like some kind of mega, mega, you know, Elton John or, you know, even though, I hearken back to my heroes, you know, he is one of them. It came to pass that I had a family and twin daughters, and
lovely.
I was interested in like the joys of, you know, parenthood and stuff like that, and still maintaining, you know, a career because I was passionate about songwriting.
Thank you.
I still love entertaining, and always have. But my first 10 years as an artist, they were really rough for me. I was coming into my own, and when What You Won't Do for Love was, you know, the top 5 record in the country and the world, I wasn't ready. But not really.
Mm.
So I was kind of catapulted into this thing, and the next 10 years became a learning process for me of, you know, how to present myself as an artist live. And what I had to be mindful of on every subsequent recording I did, you know, again, about the fans and the audience. I think we started off this conversation by me saying it's a work in progress, and it is.
Yeah.
I still learn from every show I do, absolutely, and every record I make. I'm still, you know. I go back through the discography. There's things I want to change, you know, but it is what it is, and it's done and done, and you move forward.
Well, and then I'll qualify my own remark and say that you embody to me the personification of working not longer but smarter. You have been able to, because of, I think, some business savvy that you took to heart through the years, you have been able to make your presence known in different places that other folks in the category of where you are now, Bobby, and boy, these categories are a pain in the toot sometimes, but in the States especially, we have to have them. In Japan, where you are absolute king, the king of AOR, I love that because I remember what that means. you can do no wrong. In the States, we're all insistent on having these categories. So for the whether it's good or bad, you are labeled as this wonderful jazz singer, and you do it better than most, for sure. But you are so much more than that, and you have been able to make forays into some different paths that other people wouldn't have the acumen to do. So I think it's just smart in what you have done as opposed to beating yourself up. I know that you've had this great home life, and thank God, because balance is everything, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I remember a time when I would turn to my friends and go, you know, you guys, you really should think about getting married. It's so great, and the kids and everything. And, Trish, I got to tell you, you know, when the babies come, it's like, oh, it's so joyous and so joyous. And then one day you wake up and realize they're not leaving.
Oh, you are gonna get reprimanded for this.
Oh no.
What do you mean they're gonna stay? Oh, that's funny. But you know, honestly, you know people, and I do too. I've got my son who just turned 21 on April the 4th.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had him late in life. And
well, my twins are about to turn 21. My son,
oh, really?
Yeah. And my stepdaughter is 21. So I'm surrounded by women, Trish, here.
Oh, no wonder you ran screaming.
I just say yes.
That's it. You see all these different folks around us, and I feel so badly because time has a way of slipping by. There are women who are my age or a little bit younger, and they wonder, what am I doing? I have focused on my career only. And now, what else do I have?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I have, and I'm sure you have the same thing. I have friends who just aren't, you know, they're not cut from the cloth of marriage thing. They're just, you know, they're like vagabonds. And, you know, it takes a certain person to be in a marriage, and it takes a certain kind of person to, you know, be able to be happy and content, not being bound by that.
Yes.
For me, you know, I've had a failed marriage, but, you know, it's kind of like I seem to be cut from the cloth, so I remarried, and, you know, this time it's working. So you learn the stuff, you know, you learn the ropes, and it's not an easy gig.
No, it's not. I remember, speaking of country, June Carter Cash used to say to Johnny Cash every day, and you know the road they had was extremely rocky, but when they were in this good place, she used to say to him every morning, what can I do for you today, John?
Yep,
pretty heavy.
And that is one of the building blocks right there of, you know, being able to make a marriage work is...
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you can do for one another, and gladly.
Yes, gladly.
You know, it's, boy, there are so many fundamentals. You know, you could spend an hour listening to them, but that's definitely one of them.
You know, you can't be in a situation where you are uncomfortable with the notion of dying to yourself in order to make in order to cave to a suggestion sometimes, you really do have to be thinking of the other person. I won't even go into the situation with my relationships. I'm a single mom now, but my ex and I have this great relationship. We're friends, and we're focusing on this wonderful human being who is our son. You really do learn as you go on that it's not all about you. You've got to cut out the narcissism in your life, and you've got to figure that
you do what's necessary.
Yes.
Yep. And, you know, we have an interesting situation here, too, because my wife and I, we're both coming out of divorces when we remarried each other. Let's see, it was 2005. And her ex is like, you know, he's part of the family. He's like an uncle.
That's awesome.
And my relationship with him is, it just couldn't be more sterling. So, you know, what you're saying you were able to accomplish, you know, there's people out there who are able to make this work. And, you know, some who aren't. And God bless the ones who are, because in the end, it's about the kids, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And even though you might want to run screaming out of the house sometimes, they're your girls. And, shoo, you are going to have, and you do, some happy memories. And you're right, some people are not cut out for it. But the fact that we can have kids and talk about this with some joy in our voices is a really big thing. You are going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis, I just found out the other day.
Yeah. That's a fun hang. Yeah,
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you are so perfect in that venue. It's going to be, what, May 25th, I think. We'll direct people to the Ram's Head in Annapolis website. But how many gigs do you work a year, Bobby? Is it something that you can just say at will? You don't want to work, you don't have to.
Well, I have to.
You have to.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, we're living on a horse property, so we have horses here. Most of them are adopted. The most recent came from the New York City Police Force. And what we do with these horses is, one of my daughters, my stepdaughter, she teaches, and in some cases, handicapped kids.
Okay.
Just, you know, they get the thrill of the lifetime by coming out here to the ranch and getting on a horse and feeling they have control over something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just, it's great. And then you save the life of a horse that otherwise is bomb-proof. And then just basically getting retired. So these horses, there are a lot of them online you can find, and you just have to go through it. And they'll, you can get them for nothing. Just take the horse.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, especially in this area where we are in New Jersey. All throughout New Jersey, there are horse farms. And this is completely new for me as of 2005, because I was coming from the West Coast, even though I was born in New York. You know, I never really lived on the East Coast except growing up in Miami.
Yeah.
But the overhead here, it's like, you know, it's kind of a choker, and New Jersey's got the highest state taxes and property taxes in the country.
Mm.
And we can't move because the property values are down. So we have my mother-in-law, my stepdaughter, one of my twin daughters, and another broad named Stella, our bulldog.
Estrogen City.
Mm. You want to talk about a diva? This is a diva.
And, of course, the name has to be Selma.
Stella. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My gosh. So
in answer to your original question, yeah, I have to work. And how often? As often as I can, because these days there are fewer places to play. And so, you know, I just turned 61, and I'm working harder now than I ever have in my life.
Mm.
Not necessarily more, but harder.
Yes, I can see.
For instance, at a club, it's usually not one night, unlike the Denver concert night before last. But it's usually 3-4 nights, so you're talking two shows a night. So that's a lot of singing. So I'm working harder and making less money. So it's kind of, I'm on a treadmill. There's really no choice. And I think you'd find, if you reached out to anyone in the smooth jazz community, I think if they were candid, they'd probably tell you the same thing.
Well, and in actuality, it's not only the music business, but my son's father would say the same thing to you about being in the drywall business. He started out 15. Life was good for a while, making good money, but now he's got to work harder to make sure that bread's on the table. So you know.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? The cost of living has not measured with the salary.
Yes.
For any vocation.
That's right.
And it's gotten worse and worse progressively year after year. And now this new, you know, this the new taxes and everything, it's something to reckon with for sure.
Yeah, and I know what you mean about New Jersey because my sister lives in Ocean City, New Jersey, so I hear about this.
Oh, my gosh. How did she fare during the storm?
You know what? Do you believe that everything around her looked like Beirut and her street was saved?
Get out.
Seriously.
Really?
Yes.
Ah, bless her heart. Well, thank God for that.
How about that? So hopefully
that
she feels the reprieve, and she'll give back now. But, yes, that was amazing. Boy, how about that storm? Whoa.
Oh. Yeah, we even here, and we're more inland, but we were without power for 14 days.
Seriously? Two weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Bobby. Ooh, hopefully those days will never come again. That was a monster and a half.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Well, I'm so tickled. I mean, can you believe that this is like an hour?
No way.
Seriously?
Well, Trish, I got to tell you, do a lot of this, and you give a great interview. You really do. You know your stuff, and you're charming.
Oh, bless your heart. So are you. I knew that I would love you. I knew that. Because people come to your shows and they just like Griselda and Beej are here. Griselda is from Texas. Beej is calling from Southern California. They're both big fans, and we'll find out the numbers of how many people are listening. They're going to be staggering because in January we had over 13,000 hits for this show alone.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent.
So
I'm pleased to hear it because it's obviously part of the future of radio for sure.
Exactly, and we really do have to think out of the box in this regard. And Bobby, seriously, take heart in what is going to come to pass. We were just talking a few of us about how things are popping. It seems like venues are opening up. It seems like things are starting to trickle back in as far as money is concerned, and there's a lot of shows. This bodes well. So be of good cheer looking into this mid-2013 on into the end of the year into 2014. It's going to be good.
I've always been an optimist. Just, you know, when things aren't going right, I try not to hang on to it. I don't know, something inside me tells me I might live a few more years longer if I don't obsess about stuff. You know?
That's right.
So you can't internalize everything and just, you know, you gotta just deal. And
Yeah.
So we do. That's what we do, right?
Hey, you are living your gift. You're doing what you were always supposed to do in life. You're making thousands of people happy. You have made thousands more happier through the years. I'm just going to say a little prayer for your peace of mind that you get a whole bunch of money and can take care of the horses.
Really?
Yes. And as much as you want to get out of the house, that's cool. I'm just going to pray that you get out of the house when you want to, because I know that you got a house full of women. So that can sometimes be overwhelming for a guy. But whatever it is that you want, I want for you. So that's how.
You know something? You are you won my heart today. You were just a doll. Let's do this again anytime. Will I get a chance to meet you?
Oh, sure. I am definitely coming to Ram's Head. I don't know if I'll get to Burke's, but I'll get to Ram's Head. So.
Okay, good deal, good deal.
Yes.
I'll make up a point to sit down and have a few laughs with you.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. And we'll have good news to share, that's for sure.
Well, I hope so.
Yes. God bless you, Bobby.
God willing, we will. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Trish. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Absolutely. And I'm going to play one of your other songs from A House of Cards, and then I'm going to go into the inevitable, of course. So, thank
Mary
for me, please.
All right. Well, take care of yourself until Annapolis, and God bless.
God bless you, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bobby Caldwell, everybody. Everybody. And usually I don't say everybody, but I'm thinking about my friend Lori Lewis at WSMJ. He used to say, top of the hour, everybody. Oh, my God. Was he wonderful? And let us make sure that you know that House of Cards is available at Bobby Caldwell's website, and we'll talk about that a few times. Let me just play one of those tracks from House of Cards, and we'll go into the song, and you know what song that I'm saying. All right. Thank you again to Barry, to Mary and to Bobby for spending so much time. That's great for Mary for setting it up. And here we go. Let me see here. Where is this? Game On! That's the name of the song that I was looking for on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Hybrid Jazz.
How many times have we had one too many glasses of wine and sang along to that? Oh, that's just me. Okay. What You Won't Do for Love, Bobby Caldwell from the late 70s. Woo! Just to let you know, we didn't touch on this because there is a large measure of humility in Bobby, and there's just so much to say about him. For example, did you know that his original compositions have been in motion pictures starring Al Pacino, Albert Brooks, and Hilary Duff? and his renditions of standards have found their way into both films and television. He has written hit songs for Al Jarreau. You heard Peter Cetera and Amy Grant, Boz Scaggs. Griselda, you were asking, Heart of Mine is the name of the song that you were looking for. The sampling of that song that you just heard is just crazy, including, who sampled this? Tupac and Biggie, Notorious B.I.G. So you know that there is a measure of cool that Bobby Caldwell brought into the music industry that maybe hadn't been there before. So this is why I'm making such a big deal. And then there was another song, Open Your Eyes, that Common sampled in the hit. So it just goes on and on. When you hear Bobby do the songs that have become pretty massive for other people, there's a whole new poignancy. I just heard him sing a little while ago, Next Time I Fall. Man, he just brings all of what he learned from his mom and dad, their courage and being on all the time. Bobby likes to keep it happy when he's doing his thing in front of an audience. I just can't say enough about him, and I'm so glad he spent an hour with us. So once again, thanks. And now I'll just shut up. Oh, you know what we heard too? House of Cards. At the beginning of the interview, we heard What About Me, and then we heard Game On from House of Cards. Pick that up at bobbycaldwell.com. I did see, I think, that they were also House of Cards, and his last project were on Amazon.com, but he wants to make sure that you are able to purchase them from his website. Let us go into a birthday, shall we? Stanley Turrentine is no longer with us. Either is Freddie Hubbard. Stanley's birthday on the 5th, the day after my son's. Stanley, born in 1934, passed away in 2000. Freddie Hubbard, born on April the 7th, 1938, and passed in 2008. Oh, that was a bad day. Whoo! Man, they got their collective groove on along with George Benson and Ron Carter, Lonnie Liston Smith, Billy Kay, Butch Cornell. Hubert Laws was involved in this project. Hank Crawford, Aerto Moreira, I just wanted to say the name, and Billy Cobham. Sugar was huge in 1971. Stanley decided to tackle a John Coltrane piece, and boy, did he do it. This is 11 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. The best of the best right here on Impressions on Hybrid Jazz. You know, perception is reality, and it just seemed to me that whenever I was listening to a contemporary jazz station and they would throw a particular kind of Sade song into the mix, it always seemed to work out just right. It always seemed to blend. And, of course, the show is called Hybrid Jazz, so, you know, there's nooks and crannies for different kinds of sounds that you will hear. Bobby Caldwell would have told you himself that he's a hybrid artist because he certainly loves jazz, but he also loves the American songbook and loves country music. And then there's Sade, who certainly has an affinity for jazz, but she is labeled as, what, R&B or soul or pop, whatever. But there's just different sensibilities that you find within a framework of a three-song set that gives you a lot of flexibility. At least that's why I do the show, because it just sounds so exciting to make sure that all those sounds are heard together. Sade, yeah. And I wanted to get a 1980s song in the mix, too, 1985 from Promise, number one in the UK and the US, actually quadruple platinum in the United States. Same album that gave you, woo, one of those songs that you just don't want to hear unless everything's going all right. Is it a crime? And then Never As Good As the First Time also on that. But The Sweetest Taboo is one of those songs that so many of us relate to. Stanley Turrentine and Company. Oh, man, that's good stuff. 1971 Impressions from Sugar. After so much time spent on another label, here comes Stanley on CTI, and he surprised a lot of folks because Sugar is considered one of the best from so many artists in that long generation, those legends that we had. And there are a few on this particular track. Freddie Hubbard, God bless him. Ron Carter, George Benson, Lonnie Liston Smith, and I told you the others that were involved in the project. Beautiful. A couple of people have said that it was pretty rare to hear the kind of not only musicianship, but the fellowship within that musicianship on that project. Gotta say that even though Stanley was from elsewhere, he lived in Fort Washington, Maryland for a while, so we'll claim him as our own, if that's okay with you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Got to play a few more songs for you. Got about maybe 25 minutes or so. And wanted to play a track from one of our favorite groups, certainly on this show, because they're a little excited. They are playing the East Coast this month. And whenever Hiroshima comes to Scholars, I know the folks in Boston are happy. When they come to the Birchmere, folks in Virginia are ecstatic. And at Ram's Head, it's a packed joint. This is going back now to Legacy. One of the cool things that they did was they got the first 10 years of their decades-long career, and they revisited songs. And this was originally from the CD, or actually the LP at that time, or cassette, if you will, Go, from 1987, a retooled version of Hawaiian Electric on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. This is Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. Change of pace. This is Carmen McRae on Hybrid Jazz.
And used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distant gay traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. Ah, yes, I was wrong again. Thank you. and there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those.
Kevin and Kirk Whalen. At Burke's Jazz this week. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you with Grace Kelly on Thursday. God bless you.